The solstice day is considered to be the international yoga day, isn't it? It has become a 21st January thanks to Prime Minister Narendra Modi in the United Nations. He explained the importance of yoga and solstice. So globally today is celebrated as a festival of the day of yoga. So we have been celebrating solstice over many decades, and it is also today known to be an international yoga day. In almost all countries, yoga is celebrated. Yoga is also accepted as something beyond religion. And it is everything to do with the human and the surrounding nature, and has nothing to do with religions. When yoga was conceived, it was conceived like that by Patanjali, the great seer, who wanted that the human being realizes within him the potentials which are threefold: planetary, solar, and cosmic. So I wish to greet you all, first of all, on the occasion of solstice, which is also today recognized on the globe as the day of yoga. It's a good step for humanity. Apart from Father's Day, Mother's Day, Lover's Day, and other days, there is a day for yoga on the planet. So once again I greet you, and then we get into our theme. To whose temple the arch is starlit? In whose temple the sun is the image of God? To whose temple the moon goes every month and brings the message out every full moon? And whose message the moon sings as a word of 16 letters? His religion I belong to. His temple I visit. His name I utter. His glory I live in. To him I offer the lotus of my day. To him I offer the lotus of my night. Master Namaskaram. Master C. V. V. Namaskaram.
Master C. V. V. Namaskaram.
Master M. N. Namaskaram.
Master M. N. Namaskaram.
Master E. K. Namaskaram.
Master E. K. Namaskaram.
Master Namaskaram.
Master Namaskaram.
Medhame Indro Dadatu Medham Devi Saraswati Medhame Ashwina Ubha Adhatam Pushkaratraja Mamanga.
వాక్ ప్రాణశ్చక్షు శ్రోత్రమనో బలమింద్రియాణి చ సర్వాణి సర్వం బ్రహ్మోపనిషదం మాహం బ్రహ్మ నిరాకుర్యా ఉపనిషత్సు ధర్మా తే మయి సంతు ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.
Hearty fraternal greetings and good wishes to all the brothers and the sisters. One of the important principles of temple formation is adapting ourselves to the due and ancient order. It is explained in the previous classes, and it is a little more gets explained now. Anything that we do, there has to be an order in doing it. There has to be order from head to foot, as I said, in relation to the orderliness of a master of wisdom. I explain to you how from the top of the head to the tip of the toe a master of wisdom ensures orderliness in him. His appearance itself is very orderly. His speech would naturally be very magnetic, and his actions radiate the light. So also we have to follow the model of a master of wisdom. A master of wisdom stands as a model for us to follow. Bhagavad Gita clearly says, it's always good for humans to pick up a role model and to transform oneself in tune with that model. A teacher of wisdom not only teaches wisdom but also demonstrates it. His life itself becomes a demonstration of teaching. His appearance also becomes a demonstration of teaching. His handling of things is also a demonstration of teaching. The way he appears itself is a demonstration. You would never see a master of wisdom without well dressed. Meaning, his hair is orderly, his dress is orderly, all relating to him is orderly. We should start with it because we like to put up a good appearance, isn't it? All of us, to start with, would like to put up or put on a good appearance. A good appearance means it starts with the dressing of the hair. Those who do not dress their hair, they are very disorderly. You can take it from me. Those who do not dress their hair properly, they tend to be very disorderly for the simple reason the hair stands as antenna to receive thoughts from the surroundings. If you don't pay attention to the hair, you are already disordered. Note this, because anarchism has set in the name of freedom, not to dress the hair. And you should never dress the hair in a manner that your forehead is covered. You cannot cover your forehead in the name of hairdress. See, as I said, the head is north and it has to be always kept orderly. The north in the house that we stay should also be very clean. The north in our house, there we stay, because the body itself is a house. So north has to be always kept clean. And for that reason, Madame Blavatsky very clearly states in the book Practical Occultism, let there be a head bath each time when you take bath. Let there be a head bath, meaning a shower every time you take bath. Why? Because if you cleanse the head with waters, the thoughts are cleansed. The thoughts are cleansed. She even writes a sentence, water cleanses men and gods alike. Water purifies men and gods alike. So therefore, hair is seen as electrical and it should be given proper attention. The more hair you have, the more maintenance you have to pay attention to. If you don't have hair, you are lucky. One job is less. But if you have hair, it has to be well arranged. You see Master Maurya, Master Maurya, Maitreya, and you see Saint Germain, you see any master of wisdom, their hair is well dressed. Number one. Number two, they do not let their hair fall on their forehead. Forehead stands for the east. You cannot keep it in the shade. If the east is in the shade, you never receive light. That's why if you take the ancient traditions, mostly people were combing in a manner that there is no chance for the hair to fall on the forehead. Today we have such hairdressing styles where a part of the hair falls on even up to the eyes, and every time they look like this. From the spiritual standpoint, those are considered to be really stupids. Always doing like this. Because they don't have time to even use the hand, because hands are engaged somewhere. So it becomes a mannerism. That should not happen. Please make note, insofar as you wish to follow the teachings of wisdom, you have to keep your hair well dressed. You have to. It's important to keep the hair well dressed. You know, the Nazarenes are those who comb the hair from the Sushumna up to the Sahasrara, on both sides the hair is. That's where you have Lord Maitreya. That's the best. And almost all Indian ladies, they do that. And then also males, if they know, they do like that. You see the hairstyle of the master Kuthumi, who we call Devapi. Do you know why he is called Master Kuthumi? This kind of inquiring nature should always be there with us. If to know why is he called Kuthumi? He gives the technique of Kutoham. Kutoham. Kutoham means he tells you to meditate from where have you come. I explained to you in the previous classes, here only. Kutoham asmi, where from have I come? If we know where from have we come, we know where we have to go. If we do not know where from we have come, we do not know where we have to go. So be it Master Kuthumi, Master Maurya, or Master Jalpur, or for that matter, any Master of Wisdom, from head to foot, they are very, very, very orderly, and we should also ensure that we have orderliness. Orderliness. If you see Master Count Saint Germain, he is most orderly. Most orderly. He would not let his button stay open. Never like this. From here, if you have a dress where you have a button, every button has to be set. You cannot leave some buttons. And his buttons were all amethysts which he himself used to prepare. He has such a liking for amethysts that he has always amethysts as the button which he prepares himself. On special occasions, he also wears diamond buttons. Not because he has glamour for them, but because he can transmit the related energies through those. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అబౌట్ హిమ్ ఈజ్ ఆఫ్ గ్రేట్ ఆర్డర్, వెరీ గ్రేట్ ఆర్డర్. ఇన్ యూరప్ దే హ్యావ్ అనదర్ పిక్చర్ ఆఫ్ కౌంట్ సెయింట్ జెర్మెన్ విచ్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఏ క్లోజ్ షేవ్డ్ పిక్చర్, క్లోజ్ షేవ్. ఇట్ డజంట్, ఇట్ కెనాట్ యాక్సెప్ట్ ఇఫ్ దేర్ ఇస్ డిజార్డర్. ఇఫ్ యూ విష్ టు బీ ఏ ఫాలోవర్ ఆఫ్ సెయింట్ జెర్మెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు బి వెరీ 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 ఆర్డర్లీ ఫ్రమ్ హెడ్ టు ఫుట్. There has to be an order and it has to be always clean and radiant. And then your handling of things also has to be orderly. Your handling of things have to be very orderly. For example, if you are a student, you should always hold a pen. It's a message that you are a student. If you are a student and you don't carry a pen, you are considered disorderly. Normally what we do when we wish to write anything, since we don't hold the pen, we pick up pen from the neighbor's pocket, isn't it? That is seen as a crime from the standpoint of temple building. It's a crime. Why can't you yourself hold a pen? Why do you pick up from others' pocket? And many times even without their permission. It shows the casual, indifferent, callous attitude. So that is not allowed in temple building, because in temple everything has to be in an order. If you set a, for example, if you handle an article, you cannot keep like that. You cannot keep. It has to be in right angles. It cannot be in any angle you like. For example, you cannot keep, if you have to keep it in a vertical manner or keep it in an horizontal manner. It can't be like this. It can't be like that. The symmetry is the fundamental of all temple work. Symmetry is the fundamental of all temple work, uniformity and symmetry. So if you sit also, you cannot sit like this, or you cannot sit like this. You cannot sit in a manner where you are. Even Master Saint Germain, when he sits, you have all right angles. The vertebra is vertical, the two shoulders are in equal levels, and then there is a right angle at the hip, a right angle at the knee, a right angle at the feet. Imagine that. I don't know if any one of you have seen the ancient Masonic chairs. The way the pharaohs sit. You may have seen the pictures of pharaohs. They sit in a manner that the two knees are together like this. They are not like this. This makes a different angle. By observing, you know this. The pharaohs sit like this. And you know Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, is full of wisdom and full of magic. Don't think Moses got all wisdom and magic only from the burning bush. Even before that, he was fully trained. He was fully trained into the mysteries of Egyptian wisdom in the chambers of the pharaohs, wisdom chambers of the pharaohs. Apart from the magic that he has learned, the wisdom that he has learned, he had the additional advantage of being graced by the divine. That's all. Most of you who know this story in the Old Testament, Ramesses and Pharaoh, in matters of wisdom and ability, they are equal. That's why when Moses did some magic, then he lays his stick, the hand staff, on the ground, it becomes a serpent. Ramesses smiles at it. Don't do this. He says, don't do these cheap tricks with me. But he's as much a wise man as Moses was. The only difference is, even among the wise men, some are chosen by God for a purpose. The chosen ones are different. The chosen ones, they are always different among the equals. A chosen one stands high among the equals. The one whom the divine chooses, he stands different. That is what is called sonship. Sonship. That means among all those wise men, the divine graces one of them. When the divine graces, the activity happening through him is far different from his colleagues. Far different from his colleagues, because it is divine functioning through him. So therefore, what is important was that I am speaking to you about the pharaohs. It's all ritualism and building the temple within by which the magic works. The magic of the soul works. The magic of the soul functions very well. So therefore, make sure that not only you are very orderly, not only your dress is orderly, but all things that you wear should also be orderly. You can't wear a shoe without enough polish to this. The shoe should shine. The shoe should shine. When you leave the chappals, there has to be an order. You cannot live as you like. These are all important dimensions. In these small things, there is built up of energy into an order. When there is no build up of temple energies in an order, you cannot build it. See, when you have to build a structure like this, there has to be a plumb, a vertical, a level measuring, water level measuring instrument to show if there is, the horizontal is perfect, the vertical is perfect, and there is a set square by which you measure every corner, if it is in the right angle or not. All that which you use in building a temple, in building a structure, are also relevant in a symbolic manner in building your personality. If you, in any master's ashram, if you go, if you are allowed to use articles which are there, but you have to restore them to the same place. For example, if you take an article like this and then you have a look at it, when you set it back, it has to be set in the same place, in the same manner as it was before. That is how the Dune ancient order is. You should know where you set your pen when you are not at work. Number one. It should always be at the same place. It should always be at the same place. And it should be in the same position. That's how a master's ashram is. If anyone touches and it changes its position, he knows who is the disorderly one. For us also, all that we regularly use in our daily life, they have to be in order. And when after use, they have to be restored to the same place. After using the glasses, they have to be set into its relevant box. This is observed. This is observed by the devas. The devas observe. See, there we are very much excited about devas. The devas of violet, who are very proximate to us, the devas of violet, we invoke violet flame and all that. They care to see how orderly are you in your normal daily routine. In your normal daily routine, how orderly are you? If you are not orderly in simple things, you cannot be counted for higher things. You cannot be relied upon for higher things, because in small things only man's character is known, stature is known. Therefore, every article after use shall have to be restored to the same place. That is, the due and ancient order comes up to that point. You know, most of us, we always search for our glasses. We always search for our pen. We always search for mobile phones. We do not know where we have cut before. Isn't it? There is forgetfulness. Mostly the car keys. We don't know where we have kept it. We keep on asking people, where are my car keys? At home. The car key, the house key, the pen, the mobile, the laptop, the glasses. Everything is, we are always in a search mode. Why we are in a search mode? We are in disorder. That's why we are in disorder. I know a master of wisdom who just threw out one indweller of the ashram only because he touched the razor blade relating to the master. It happened. So there is, see, the master uses a razor blade and the shaving stick. He has kept it in an order, and someone who went into the same restroom or bathroom, for nothing he touched it, and its placement is changed. And he comes to know because when things are not in their original placement, someone would have touched it. He said, get lost, don't come to this. You don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. So why I am saying these things is, make sure that we are very orderly in every aspect of our life. By that, you would have a kind of self-esteem. Self-esteem. Self-esteem is different from pride. To be proud is not desirable, but to hold on to self-esteem. And if you adopt this kind of orderliness, the forgetfulness of which I was speaking to you the other day, it ceases to. Forgetfulness comes through your inattentiveness. Inattentiveness. So this kind of order is important. You know why this topic of order has come to be today again? It's because of the fire ritual that we are doing here. We, the organizers of this seminar, must ensure that this roof is restored to its order. We must ensure that this roof is restored to its order. Otherwise, the very seminar and temple that we are doing is futile. Futile. నార్మల్లీ నో హోటలియర్ వుడ్ అలౌ అస్ టు డూ లైక్ దిస్. దే డోంట్ అలౌ బికాస్ హూ వుడ్ యాక్సెప్ట్ స్మోక్ టు ది రూఫ్. ది వెరీ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దట్ దే అలౌడ్ అస్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈజ్ ఎన్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ బెనవలెన్స్, an act of love, an act of accommodative nature. So we have to respect it and we have to make sure that either ourselves restore it to its original state or compensate it adequately. Only then we would have done well as a seventh ray student. On this planet, if we have, when we remain, our stay on this planet should be worthy. Should be worthy. Meaning, by your being here, the vicinity has to be improved but not destroyed. If we work together here, after we leave, we should leave much more fragrance here by virtue of our conduct. If we leave something disorderly, we have done more disservice than service. Isn't it? In these matters, there is a great dimension relating to temple building. We cannot use in any way and every way because you are under observation by the devas of violet plane. They are the most proximate to the physical plane and their work is to observe how orderly are we. When we came into the hotel, how was it? And when we leave the hotel, how will it be? Depending on that, next time you are invited or not invited, isn't it? They don't let you in a second time when we do something which is not to their satisfaction. That's why even before we vacate the rooms also, the violet devas, they would only make sure if we have left the room in same order as it was given to you, so that the cleaning staff has much little work to do. When we enter, it is in one state. When we leave, it cannot be in a worse state. It should at least be in the same state, if not in an improved state. See, when you leave things in an improved state, they would ask you again, when will you come back? When will you come back? That means they look forward for our coming back. We have such a situation in Germany in a hotel in the village of Billerbeck. Every time we conduct the group life and when it is concluded, the manager of the hotel has been asking all these years, I hope you will come back. I am sure you will come back. We would like you to come back. We would like your group to be here. That gives to us that in that praise, what I see is that the devas are satisfied. When the devas are satisfied, it's a different state. See, if a flower plant is satisfied with your relation to it, it gives more flowers than normal. You know that? It gives more flowers than normal if you have that tender approach to a flower plant. But if you don't care for the flower plant having planted it, it's a different story. So we have to make sure that our existence on the planet continues to give some fragrance to the surroundings. but not pollution to the surroundings. We cannot pollute the place and glow, then the violent devas are not sad. We cannot pollute. This is a dimension which we always we should carry with us. Firstly, orderliness. Secondly, in handling things. In handling things, when you handle a book to study, how you handle a book itself is indicative of your veneration to wisdom. Your veneration to wisdom depends upon how you open the book, how you hold it, how you read it, and how you close it and restore it. This is very important actually. When we use books from the library, we take out, we read it, we leave it somewhere, we don't restore it to the same place. When the librarian wants to look at the order, what he makes an order of the books in a register. But once people come and visit the library, there none of the books is in the shelf as they should be. What kind of readers are they? Normally, in the olden days, these things were taught even in the schools. So please make sure that everything that you hold on, everything that you relate to, you handle it in a manner that by your relation to it, it does not lose its vibration, number one. On the contrary, you can contribute to its vibration. If you relate to a person, to a place, to a thing, to an article, it has to be with this attitude. It is the fundamental to temple building. Without that, we are unfit to build the temple, because a temple has to generate abundant magnetism, and magnetism happens only when there is order. Through disorder, nothing can progress. The difference between an iron piece and a magnet is nothing but rearrangement of the cells in the iron piece. Iron piece becomes magnet by virtue of rearrangement of the atoms in it. So we are magnetic and we tend to be iron pieces through disorder. So to gain back the order, to gain back magnetism, we have to bring that order into our life. This is one dimension which is very important. Another dimension which comes to me is, I spoke to you in the initial teachings about building up the conscience in us. Building up the conscience in us. What I wish to do versus what I should do. What am I to do versus what I wish to do. In this context, I would like to, in temple building, I would like to present to you 5 animal principles which are given in this theme. The first animal principle that is recommended to all of us is the dog. Dog is symbolic of alertness and watchfulness. We have to be very watchful of our speeches, very watchful of our movements, very watchful of our thoughts, very watchful of all that we do in the mental, vocal and physical plane. దిస్ ఇస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ దట్ యు డెవలప్ ఏ డాగ్ విత్ ఇన్ యూ, మీనింగ్ ఏ బీయింగ్ హూ ఇస్ వెరీ అలర్ట్ టు అబ్జర్వ్ హౌ ఆర్ యూ. ఏ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ యూ షుడ్ ఆల్వేస్ అబ్జర్వ్ యూ. An observer should be given birth to. In fact, if you give birth to an observer in you, he can give you a clear account of your own being. Because he observes, and by the end of the day he tells you, this is how you spoke, this is how you went on thinking, this is how you moved here and there, and in this is essential, this is non-essential, this is absurd. All our activity can be categorized into A, B, C states, essential. We have to be more attentive to the essentials, non-essentials. Sundry, third is sundry, meaningless. Sundry means meaningless. In this manner, daily, the watching principle in you tells you how much have you done, how much have you spent energy in an unessential way, in a sundry way, and how much have you really utilized the energy in essentialities. That's where the dog is. If the dog is developed in you, it immediately reminds you. Immediately. There is an immediate reminder to you, you are going too far in this rest. From within, you get the alarm. Don't go. Vis-a-vis your movement, there will be an alarm. With your speeches, there will be an alarm. If you are getting into gossip, it tells you from it. After 1 hour of gossip, if you notice that it is gossip, that hour is lost. While pleasant conversation is allowed in wisdom conduct, gossiping for nothing and spending away hours in gossiping is not enough. Not enough. So the dog that is within us, meaning the watchful principle within us, keeps on watching and keeps barking when you are out of order. See, if you have a dog at home, you would yourself know. The dog allows people to come in and come out who are regularly getting into that house or getting out of that house. If a stranger appears there, the dog already barks. So what is essential in relation to your activity, the dog remains silent. Because it is all essential. The moment you are into non-essential things, the dog barks. You need such a barking dog. Not a biting dog, but a barking dog. Even in the scriptures, they say that there is a dog guarding the infernal gates. Isn't it? Cerberus, we say that. The dog has three heads, they say. It barks. When your thoughts are not in order, it barks. When your speeches are not in order, it barks. When your actions are not in order, it barks. By this barking, you are alerted. If you don't get alerted by this barking of the dog, you will fall into hell, meaning into difficult situations. ఇంటూ అన్ప్లెజెంట్ సిచ్యుయేషన్స్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ ఫర్ నథింగ్ వీ ఫాల్ ఇంటూ అన్ప్లెజెంట్ సిచ్యుయేషన్స్ సెవెన్ వీఆర్ ఇన్ ఏ స్పైసీ కాన్వర్సేషన్ ఇన్ ఏ గ్రూప్ ఆఫ్ సే ఫోర్ ఆర్ ఫైవ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ యూ మే టెన్ టు సే సంథింగ్ విచ్ కెన్ హర్ట్ అదర్స్ ఇజంట్ బట్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నోన్ టు యూ బిఫోర్ దట్ యు ఆర్ టెండింగ్ టు డూ దాట్ యు స్టాప్ లైక్ వైజ్ యాజ్ యూ మూవ్ ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్ if you are trying to move beyond your purpose it barks it's a facility isn't it likewise when you are watchful of your thoughts you do not get any and every thought that's where the principle of meditation is to watch our own thoughts how they are happening when you are watchful the thoughts do not happen or even if they happen in a constructive manner so where there is no regulation in relation to thought or in relation to speech or in relation to action the dog barks that's why dog has become an important principle in the practices relating to yoga. We also say Dattatreya, he always carries around him dogs. It's not that he carries them, they are around him. A watchful eye, an inner eye that regulates you and you do not step over. It's a great facility, you know. It's a very great facility. When that happens, you do not talk too much. And you don't talk about yourself much. Normally, when we talk, the ego emerges. And each man or woman loves himself or herself more than the whole world. Isn't it? Every person loves himself so much. After 3 or 4 sentences, the 5th sentence is only about himself or herself. If the dog is active, it says stop it from within. Stop it, you are going too far. Thoughts are going too far, stop it. This is the beauty of the dog. So one has to be accompanied by a watchful dog. That's why in the legends that we have, the heroes always carried a dog and a horse, an eagle, like that. The hero moves on the horse and a dog follows him. Isn't it? We have meditations also like that if you carefully observe the progressive occult meditations, it starts with the dog, the hunter and the dog, the hunter and the horse back. It's not for the mystical aspect of it, there is also the scientific dimension of progress. When your energies are not dissipated in terms of non-essential thoughts, non-essential speeches and non-essential movements, your energy is saved, your life force is saved. Isn't it? So when your life force is saved, you are more with the horse. Life force is symbolically represented in the Vedas as a horse. as a horse. So you are able to deliver many more acts when your energies are conserved in terms of essential things. When the energies are conserved in essential things, and you tend to be at work only on a purpose basis. You are into objective world only when there is a purpose. When there is no purpose, you turn inward. When there is no purpose, any sensible person will not go out of the house. We generally stay in the house, and we go out of the house only when there is a purpose. Unless we are irresponsible persons. Isn't it? For nothing we don't go to a neighbor's house. For nothing you go, don't go to a market. For nothing you don't go to a mall. Isn't it? There has to be a purpose. For any movement out, there has to be a purpose. Why do we go out for nothing and spend energy, spend money, spend time? When this is arrested, what happens is your life force is more in tune with essential functioning. Thereby, you deliver much more work than what you normally deliver. See, we see whenever in the lives of the ones who are well regulated, they do multiple tasks. And yet they are not tired because their energy is expended in a uniform manner and is replenished in a uniform manner. There is a uniformity in expending the energy, and there is also uniformity in replenishing the energy. So when you work only with essentials mostly, during your sleep hours you are replenished. That's how the horse accompanies those whom the dog accompanies. కొండవీటి దొంగ సినిమా ఉంటుంది కదా, ఒక గుర్రం ఒక కుక్క. వీ హ్యావ్ మెనీ లెజెండ్స్, యూ ఆల్సో హ్యావ్ లెజెండ్స్. ఇఫ్ సమ్వన్ లైక్ కోవర్డ్ ఇస్ ఇన్ స్పెయిన్, హీ హ్యాడ్ ఆన్ ది హార్స్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ఏ డాగ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ఏ ఫ్రెండ్ హూ గివ్స్ సప్లైస్ హ్యూమర్. ఇజంట్ ఇట్? That means you need to have humor in doing things. See, if there is a little humor with you, your life is joyful. If you don't have humor, small things become very heavy in mind. If you have humor, even huge boulders will not mean anything to you. Humor lightens the whole thing. Absence of humor makes everything heavy. That's why Master Jharkul says humor is a special wisdom. The word he uses is joy is special wisdom. If you are not joyful, your life is heavy. If you have that faculty of being joyful, even if there are heavy problems, you don't feel that heaviness of the problem while you attend to the problem. So coming back to the theme, you should first be accompanied by a dog. Secondly, the horse will join you. In this sense, your life force improves in a manner that you are able to deliver much more work than before. You deliver much more work into the world, and when there is no purposeful work, you stay home. The true home of an occult student is the heart. but not the house that we build with brick and mortar. To turn inward and to be in the heart. If you turn inward and be in the heart, when there is no work outside, that effort is called taming the lion. Taming the lion. The heart center is the center relating to Leo. Therefore, it is called the lion's center. Just like the lion always stays in the cave and only moves out when it is needed. So also, you would also stay in the heart and you associate yourself with the respiration and pulsation. You stay in association with respiration, and respiration leads you to pulsation, and pulsation leads you into the cave of the heart. And you stay in the cave of the heart when there is no purpose outside. That's beautiful, you know. That's beautiful. Every Kumara, meaning every enlightened person, generally resides in the heart. He likes to be in the heart, nowhere else. The Kumara is also called Guhapriya. Guhapriyan. Guha. Guha means cave. Subrahmanyo Guhaprito. If there is work, yes, get into the mind, get into the senses, get into the body. When there is no work, quietly turn inward. Take to respiration, reach pulsation, be with pulsation. When you are in with pulsation, you would be engaged in taming the lion. That's how it is. Every theology there is what is called taming the lion. Killing the lion is never, see, killing is an ignorant expression. In the path of occultism, there is no killing. There is only gaining friendliness with everything. If you kill a lion, it doesn't serve a purpose. But if you tame a lion and make it your friend, you are very powerful. If the lion is walking with you by your side, imagine if you find someone alongside, there is a lion walking with him. Wow. So you can tame your lion in your leisure hours. The dog helps you. It keeps the watch not to let you out. Not to let you out into areas where you expend your energies. The horse helps you to do multitasking. When your life force is conserved and utilized only for purposeful activity, it keeps on improving itself. Therefore, you will be able to deliver more work and multiple work. Diverse work. If it is not so, you are only mono, single track. There are single track minds, there are multi track minds. Initially, when we had television, there was only single channel you are seeing. Single channel. Anything only in that channel. But today the televisions have so many channels. Multi channels, isn't it? To review how many channels we have, it takes 15-20 minutes. మల్టీ ఛానల్ని మైండ్ కెన్ మల్టీ ఛానల్ ఎందుకంటే సో మెనీ థింగ్ వీ హ్యావ్ సచ్ ఎ సెల్ఫ్ పిటీ అపాన్ అస్ దట్ వీ థింక్ ఆల్రెడీ వీఆర్ డూయింగ్ ఎ లాట్ బట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది స్టాండ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ ది మాస్టర్ యూ ఆర్ డూయింగ్ నథింగ్ compared to what a master of wisdom does, what an ordinary man does is just nothing. But the ordinary man speaks more about all that he is doing, isn't it? A master of wisdom doesn't speak. He has no time to speak. He has time to do things or get into the heart. No self-boasting. So what happened now? We have a dog, we have a horse, and we are taming the lion. If the lion is fully tamed, you tend to be a very attractive person. Very attractive. There is something that appears in the face which is attractive to people. This is all the transformation that happens when you work in a regular manner. Something attractive in you. That attraction is like, that is what is said to be an androgynous countenance. Androgynous countenance, meaning male-female face. Male-female face, meaning it is attractive to males, it is also attractive to females. No matter in which gender you are. You may be a male, still the males are attracted to you, the females are attracted to you. Meaning they pay attention to you, they wish to listen to you, they wish to be with you. This kind of a thing happens when the lion is tamed. That's what we call the virgin nature. So Jesus Christ was liked by all, by one and all. And his face, you cannot decipher whether it is a male face or a female. Likewise, it is described in the scriptures about Rama and Krishna. They are equally attractive to the males and equally attractive to the females. Meaning, it is a complete virgin energy by which all are attracted. That is the beauty of purity. Where there is purity, there is attraction. Beauty is in purity. Beauty is not so much in the form. When you have the beauty of purity, all the surroundings are attracted to you. Not only surrounding humans, animals, plants, trees, elements. That's the beauty. That is the beginning of formation of the temple. Wherever you go, such a person goes, the nature cooperates. The five elements cooperate. The plants cooperate, the animals cooperate, the humans cooperate. There is no commotion anywhere. A kind of, as if there is a magic spell all around. As if there is a magic spell, everything is oriented to such being who has tamed the lion in him. Tamed. That's why in the occult meditations you find a meditation that when the hunter leveled the ground, taming the lion, when the hunter leveled the ground, the maiden appeared. The maiden. When a maiden appears, we think that there is some other maiden who appears to you. It's only the maiden nature in you, the virgin nature in you that appears. So when the maiden nature appears, then arrives a great intelligence from within that helps you to lift you up. That is the eagle. The eagle, it's only when you get into the heart center and you gain a comfortable, stable placement in the pulsating principle, then arrives the eagle, which is the symbol in many countries today. Everyone has eagle as their symbol, isn't it? All temples also carry eagle symbols. The eagle is the one who lifts us up. The eagle lifts us up. See, you started with the dog and you had the association of the horse that led you into the cave. And in the cave you are transformed. Purification happens in the heart center, not in the head center. As long as you, with your mind, you try every possible technique to purify yourself, it does not. The mind should dip into the heart. It should take a dip. In India, when we take bath in the rivers, the neighbors insist, dip the head, stay in the water, like that. So the mind shall have to be dipped into the heart center, where there is the true purity, the true purity. That purity transforms into a maiden, meaning a virgin nature, meaning a pure nature, where you are developing the magnetic vibrations in you. Since you develop magnetic vibrations, there would be the surroundings will get magnetized. The surrounding gets magnetized. That's what happened when every initiate walked on earth. As he keeps moving, everything around is they receive the touch and they feel, the nature feels joyful. The plants, the animals feel joyful. We have stories in the life of Krishna. When he stays near a river bank, even the river tries to swell itself and with its little ripples try to touch his feet. It raises its level to meet the touch, to have the touch of the feet of the Lord. The birds were listening to his music. The cows were looking with open eyes towards him. The trees were orienting to him with the branches bent towards him. Such an ecstatic state is described in the scriptures about great beings when they are around. In the story of Rama, avatars, they are avatars. When Rama was moving around, everyone had the same feeling to go and hug him. It can be a very old man. It can be a very old woman. It can be a child. It can be of any category of persons. It can be even seers. The beauty is, Rama moved in exile into forest. Every seer, he had one pretext or other to hug him. They want to hug him. Rama was surprised. Why are they so crazy in hugging me? He understood it's the energy. So that's what happens when you are more and more in your heart center. You develop the magnetic field around you, and into that field not anybody and everybody can enter. That's another beauty. The beauty of your being in the heart is such that all and sundry cannot come and meet you. In the initial stages, you are helped by the dog that you don't move out into unnecessary situations. The dog helps you not to move into unnecessary situations of thought, speech and action. Now the situation is, when he has tamed the lion, it's not that you anymore would like to move into unnecessary situations. That instinct is gone. Those who are not relevant to your work cannot meet you. Those who are not relevant to your work, they cannot meet you even if they want to. They cannot come and disturb you. They cannot come and do gossip with you. They cannot waste your time. That's how it is. I have seen it with myself and with Master E.K. Master E.K. used to say, he can't meet me. Let him not worry about it. He can't meet me. Then I said, why can't he meet you, Master? No, there is no work in inter-sea. There is no work inter-sea. I have no work with him. His work is not his work. It is the plan. So those who can meet, those who cannot meet, it's all decided by a higher dimension. So you have walked into another facility. Only those who are relevant to your work would only come into your aura. Those who are not relevant to your work cannot get in. It's a facility that happens. In that state you get to the association of the eagle. So the dog, the horse, the lion. When the lion is active with you, the dog becomes dormant. When the lion is active, you are already in an advanced state that there is an insulation around you. There is a cutoff around you. That's what Master CVV also promised. If you regularly do my prayer, I give such a cutoff that you can't walk into unnecessary situations, or others can walk into your situations for nothing. It's a facility that you are not disturbed and you do not disturb others. Either way, you are prevented to disturb others by the dog itself. Now you cannot be disturbed by others. He may be in the next door, next apartment. Unless relevant, they cannot be a meeting. That's how it works. When this situation prevails, the eagle comes in. Arrival of eagle is a wonderful state. When the eagle arrives, it's like a flight coming and landing at your doorstep to take you to higher planes. The higher planes are planes of wisdom. It lifts you up to the throat, where it is called Vishuddhi, meaning extraordinarily pure. Virgin, tending to be extraordinarily very pure. It is in that state wisdom is directly imparted. At that state, wisdom is directly imparted. You receive direct perception of knowledge. There is no more drudgery of reading this book, reading that book, etc. Then he further, the eagle lifts you up to the atmic plane, that is at the Ajna. lifts you up. See, as you reach the atmic plane, then there is the contact for the personality with the soul. Then the soul is connected to the personality, and personality gains access to the soul. Only the temple is said to be formed. Thereafter, the eagle leads you further to Sahasrara, where you tend to receive the energies of the super soul or the universal energy or universal soul. That's where there is the universal soul or the master or the God, or the Lord or God, you and your personality. This is how the temple is formed. You become a representative of the super soul. And for you, your personality is prepared to fulfill the purpose. That's how the path of ascent is described in a very through the stories of animals, you know. See, there are many children's stories where the animals are described. But the animals here, they are all spiritually oriented animals. When you receive, when you go up to Visuddhi, you meet the bull there. You meet the bull. The bull is the trill or the word of God. The word of God. It starts descending into you. See, in the morning fire ritual, we invoke three dimensions of the word. We call it Vageshwari, Nakuli Vageshwari, Saraswati, and all. There is the intelligence of speech at the tip of the tongue. And then there is the help of exhalation, we produce sound at the vocal cords, that is called Vageshwari. Then there is a pit at the throat, which is called Nakuli Vageshwari. So these are the speech faculties. When the energy, when this pulsating principle is mostly working at the throat center, your voice tends to gain that kind of magnetism, and your speech gets into all regulations which are prescribed in the book sound. You do not speak, even for humor and truth. You do not speak critically. You do not speak to mislead or misrepresent. You do not speak to hurt. All these things are gone. Then the word can descend from higher circles into you, and you can start speaking. The word descends from higher circles, and you keep expressing them. That's how the bull works. The bull. And then thereafter, as you go up to Ajna, the final step is said to be another horse, which is called the winged horse, that leads you to the most high realms. This horse is called Hayagriva in the Vedic terminology. Hayagriva. Hayagriva means, it's all very, a horse-headed deity. But haya means, ha is the sound of ajna, ya is the sound of sahasrara. Haya, haya, hayagriva, hayagriva, haya. So like that, the horse which was in the earlier stages becomes a winged horse. The eagle is formed, the bull is there, the lion is there, the dog is there, so many animals. You find these symbols when you get into Vedic knowledge. they speak of Hayagriva as the most high. It's an incarnation of the second logos. Then you have the bull, then you have the eagle, then you have the lion, then you have the horse, then you have the dog. That's how the whole journey happens. So the journey, initial stages, we have to be very self-regulated. See, if someone binds you with discipline from outside, it will not work. If you are bound from within, in your aspiration to build the personality into a temple, if you have that aspiration to build your personality into a temple, that very aspiration causes the needed regulations in you one by one. And slowly your awareness permeates in a vertical manner into higher self. And thereby the knowledge distance from higher circles, you not only express the knowledge in terms of speech, you also translate that knowledge in terms of action. Then the work manifests, which would benefit all the surroundings. Anything that we do, ultimately it has to benefit the surroundings. The measure of enlightenment is the measure of welfare happened through such enlightenment. The enlightenment, the purpose of enlightenment is that it brings light to the surroundings, that it brings upliftment to the surroundings. So that upliftment is what happens to us. So therefore two dimensions are presented this morning. One is about the due and ancient order, which would enable us to remain alert and watchful. And then the dimensions relating to the watchdog, the galloping horse, the lion, the maiden, the bull, the eagle, the bull, and then the winged horse. So such is, these are all present. If you go to any temple in the east, you find all these animals presented on the dome of the temple. In the temple structure, you will find all these animals. The bulls are there, the lions are there, symbols of lions. The eagle symbol is there, the horse symbol is there, many symbols. All of them put together makes the temple. Put together they make the temple. So our temple building has to be in this order. From dog to horse, horse to lion, lion to maiden, maiden to eagle, eagle to bull, and after that a winged horse. So in this order you can remember, and a lot can further be said about it. See, in India they give so many symbols. You see so many five-headed beings. Lord Shiva is said to be having five heads. Gayatri is said to have five heads. Hanuman is said to have five heads. Ganesha is said to have five heads. Meaning all these five dimensions which are presented in terms of animals, they are all, those energies are available with those deities. If you see a panchamukha, meaning five-headed being, you find a maiden face to the east, a maiden to the right, you will find the face of the lion. Behind, there will be the face of the eagle, the head of the eagle. To the left, there will be the face of the dog. And the top, there will be the face of the horse. Like that, they set symbols. It looks funny. When you do not know the wisdom of the symbols, it looks all very funny. And in Isis Unveiled, Madam Blavatsky also presents a fivefold symbol relating to Shiva. You can verify it under the caption Adonai. Adonai. Ardhanari. In the second volume of Isis Unveiled, Madam Blavatsky discusses a lot about the five faces of the deity, which represents the five dimensions which constitute the temple. So just for the morning, we continue in the afternoon with some other dimensions. Namaskar.